And so, yeah, we can reach the nations. Today, we delve into the prophetic word of Amos. And particularly, I was asked to talk about verse 24, which says, "Let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream." That's out of the New King James Version. These words, though they were spoken thousands of years ago, resonate profoundly in our time as we explore the context of Amos' prophecy and the situation in our country, the United Kingdom. We will see how God demands justice and righteousness. It's timeless. It wasn't just for then, it's for now, and it will be for the future as well. And it's a divine principle that we cannot, it's like gravity. How many people do you know that don't believe in gravity? Because if you don't, climb up the ladder and take a step and see what happens. You quickly find out that gravity works even though you can't see it. So if we look at the context of Amos' prophecy, he was a prophet during the 8th century before Christ, a time when Israel was a very prosperous economy. And it was also marked by deep social injustice and moral decay. The people of Israel were righteously observant. They were offering sacrifices, attending feasts, and singing songs of worship, yet God was displeased. Why would you think that? Because their righteous practices were empty. It was disconnected from that principle of the righteousness and the justice that God expects of us. And so Amos was sent by God to warn the people that their hypocrisy would not go unpunished. And we have to really pray that the hypocrisy in this country also doesn't go unpunished. He declared that God was not interested in their outward display of piety in their hearts. And in the key verse, in verse 21 and to 23, just before verse 24, it says, and this is God speaking, I despise your feasts and take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps. I will not listen. Then comes this verse that I'll be talking about. But let justice run down like a water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. I'd like you just to close your eyes for a moment. I'm not going to walk out here while you close your eyes. And I'd like you just to think for a moment about the metaphor of water. God uses so many different metaphors, like sheep, like sowing and reaping. But here we're talking about water. And what's the first thing that comes to mind in your mind of water? Who would like to give me an answer?
Running water from a tap.
You can't do without it.
Water of love.
Water of love.
Waterfall.
Wet. Yes. Yeah. Imagine being anointed with that water, the Holy Spirit. The interesting thing is, and every one of you, the comments that you've made is correct. But if you think for a moment, water cannot be controlled really. Yes, you can dam it up, but if you have too much water, you can have a disaster, you can have a flood. And if you have no water, you have a drought. Water always runs downhill. Have you ever tried to see it run uphill? It doesn't work. Now, in the same way, in the context of what I'm sharing today, righteousness and justice flows downwards. It starts with the leadership, and it must flow downwards to the people. And if that happens, then it can be like a mighty river. Water can be soothing, it can be refreshing. And it's also in the context of this righteousness and justice. And if we look at God's character for a moment, it is righteousness and justice personified. God is a righteous God. He's a just God. And he expects us to walk uprightly before him and to be righteous and to be just in our dealings with one another as the body of Christ, with our friends, with our family members, and with our neighbors and in the community as well. In the New Testament, we see the emphasis on righteous and justice is also taught by Jesus himself in Matthew 23, verse 23. Because Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. And he said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matter of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Jesus echoes Amos's call to not just practice religious things outwardly, but to embody the heart of God in our actions, especially in how we pursue that justice and the mercy that God so readily gives us. If we look at the United Kingdom and the history of this country, it's actually very sad to see where we are today. It has such a rich Christian heritage. Many, many missionaries went out from this country across the world. It was built on Christian values. Yes, and there were many, many, many mistakes as well. Let's not deny that. But as a nation, it was recognized as a Christian nation. From the Magna Carta to the abolishment of slavery, the Christian principles deeply influenced the nation's laws and the moral compass. Our late Queen, and even today when they swear, they put their hand on the Bible. Now, I'm not too sure what they'll be doing in the future, but God help us. We must really pray. We see a nation, unfortunately, that it's lost its moral compass and it's drifted. Do you know that if you took a compass and it was just off by 1 degree and you had to follow that route, over a space of maybe 10 meters, you won't even recognize that you're 1 degree off course. But take it over 100 years, or 20 years, or 50 years, and suddenly, if you don't check your compass, you can be so far removed from where you should have been. And unfortunately, that's where we find ourselves today. So despite this outward appearance of prosperity and a progressive society, the United Kingdom faces significant injustice. There's homelessness. There's economic inequality. There's discrimination. The neglect of the most vulnerable are realities that cannot be ignored. And we must really say, "Lord, be merciful unto us." Because if he removes his hand from us, even if it's just for a moment, this country can be plunged into terrible things, as we have seen in the very recent past. So the prophetic message of Amos is relevant today as it was 800 odd years before Christ. And so we see that God is still interested in the heart. What's in my heart? Do I just come to church because it's my normal Sunday chore to do? Or do I really come to church to fellowship? And then what do I do from Sunday to the next Sunday? Am I out there doing something for the Lord? Am I out there just sharing that good news story of hope that each one of us have? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here today. So we see that in these words of Amos in verse 24, it's actually a call to action. It's not something that we just have to stand still, because stagnant water, what happens to stagnant water?
It smells.
It gets moss on it. And you cannot drink it. You can actually get sick from it. But if you have water that is flowing and it's clear, then we really see the benefit of that water. So as we read those words again, but let justice run down like water, as I said, down, and righteousness like a mighty stream. This is not a passive verse. This is an active call to action. Justice is not something that we just talk about. Righteousness is not something we just talk about. It's what we do. Are we in right standing with God? Are we righteous before Him? Or does sometimes our sin get in the way and we have to say, Lord, please examine my heart. Let me be still for a little bit and just see what you see in me. What is there that I need to possibly change? What is there that I need to do? And we see again in James chapter 1, verse 27. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that verse, because it says, the religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Who can tell me what this is?
The widows and children.
There we go. Have you got another mug?
No.
Oh. We might have to donate a flag to you. Or you can sign up to go on a short-term outreach. Yeah. Yes, look after the widows and the children and their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Sometimes we forget that little part, because we can so easily become polluted by the world. And if we look at, and I speak to the young folk this morning. We're all young, aren't we? All under 30? Yeah. What you're growing up in today, we didn't experience in our youth. Yes, we were also naughty. We also did things that we shouldn't have done. But generally speaking, life is, we think it's tougher for you. So we pray for you and we encourage you. Hold on to what your parents have taught you. It's so great to see you sitting here with your mum. And I think that's your dad at the back. Yeah? Hello, Henry. Welcome. And if you can encourage other young folk in the neighborhood to come and join, you can grow this church. And God will bless you abundantly. So to conclude, in 2 Chronicles verse 7:14, and it's a verse that's quoted so often, it gives us a powerful promise. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That's a promise. It doesn't say, I may, or I could, or I'll think about it. It says, I will. So I want to encourage everyone, let's pray for our nation. Let's intercede for it. And really ask the Lord to please be merciful unto us. So I conclude again with this verse. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Let this verse inspire you today. Are you excited? Are you excited to go out this week and maybe just tell someone, one person, who'd like to stick up their hand and give me a commitment that this week, even if you just say one word about Jesus Christ, that you'll do it and just say, you know, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. We, in 2017, there we go, young man. Yeah, follow in your dad's footsteps. The turning that they run out of Reading with the pastor from there. We had mission to Wales. And in over a six-week period, that over 3,500 people make a fresh commitment to follow Jesus. So we can make that difference. So let us reflect God's justice, let us reflect his righteousness, and let us walk in his ways, because that's what matters. That's what matters. And I just want to again say thank you, thank you, thank you for inviting us here. If you want us to come again, you've got our contact details. We'll come and help you. Maybe we can do a survey in your community. One of our short-term outreach leads who lives in Birmingham, that's what she does. She walks side by side with various churches. They invite her and they do something in the community. They do surveys to see what are the needs are, what do the people want, and they help. And we are here to help you. So again, thank you once again. Thank you. Thank you for making us feel so welcome. And I'm not sure if there's enough time for two songs, or no songs, or all the songs. So I'll leave it to you. But thank you very much. God bless.